At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be along later in the program. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Kuharsky has tweeted this morning, "En route to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game. Just heard Joe not use the cough button. Be sure to tune in. Hashtag Titans." This is from Paul Kuharsky.
This is Mr. Lip Smackers talking about me coughing.
So anyway, guys, let me talk from. Hold on.
Does he do that?
Yes.
I've never noticed it.
I've been kind and haven't brought it up. But if we're gonna get into sounds that we make with our mouths on the microphone, then
and I'm sitting here drinking. It's my third cup of coffee. I'm sitting here drinking it, slurping. While the microphone's on,
yeah. Just slurping. No, actually, he's
been
right.
Up since three. Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do, man.
Yeah. Tough sleep night, huh?
Tough sleep night.
Coffee.
Baby wasn't having it.
Not having it.
Not having it.
You are a coffee connoisseur now.
I am. It's a big deal. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All right, so C.J. Stroud last year obviously was unbelievable in his rookie season. Pro bowler, offensive rookie of the year, leads the Texans to the divisional round of the playoffs when nobody thought they were going to make the playoffs last year. Finishes with 4,100 yards, 23 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions, 63.9% completion percentage, and 8.2 yards per attempt. So pretty much any number that you want to dissect from C.J. Stroud last year was really, really good. I mean, we know this with the offensive staff that was around him, the receivers, just everything fell in line very nicely for the Texans. Last year, they've added to that. They've gone and gotten Stephon Diggs on the offensive side of the ball. They've loaded up on defense. The Texans are all in terms of trying to go after a Super Bowl while C.J. Stroud is on his rookie deal. I mentioned the odds yesterday on FanDuel Sportsbook. San Francisco is the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl. Then you got Kansas City and Baltimore right behind them, Cincinnati. On down the list a little bit, you know, the Lions are there, the Bills are there, the Eagles are there, the Cowboys, and then you got the Texans at plus 1,600. So if you're going strictly by the odds on AFC teams, the Texans are actually fifth, which, to be quite frank with you, I think I would put the Texans over the Bills, but that's just me. They're fifth on the list right now in the AFC. And everybody, when predictions come out and when everybody starts talking about this season, it's going to be Texans winning the AFC South, C.J. Stroud continuing to be a great player, and all those things. We just talked about this with Will Levis, and I brought up the Vince Young example. Now, granted, C.J. Stroud's rookie season better than Vince Young's rookie season. But we've seen this in the league before where guys come in, they have a good year, teams get some tape on them, maybe figure them out a little bit, and it's not quite as linear the next season in terms of the improvement. Did you see enough from C.J. Stroud in year one to convince you that he is for sure going to be a problem, that the Titans are just going to have to deal with for the next decade plus? Or do you still need to see a little bit more from him before you're ready to anoint him like the rest of the NFL seemingly has?
Well, I definitely feel good about saying he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. Do I feel good about saying he's got multiple MVPs coming his way? No. We'll see. It can go different ways. He did last year. I mean, it's strange to say because the Texans were so bad before he got there. But he did last year actually he had a lot of things going for him. It was still, and that doesn't diminish from what he did. He did a great job. He's a tremendous talent. I like him a lot. He did have pretty good protection, and the receiving core, you know, the defense took a huge jump. Just a good head coach hire. So there was a lot to like about what was around him. But it's hard for me to watch him last year and think he's going to fall off too much. It's just a matter of, you know, sometimes people settle in. Is he going to be in that top echelon? I think it's definitely too early to know that. And by the way, I hope Karski enjoyed that. I muted myself correctly right there for my little cough.
Nice.
But let me give you some 20 years of NFL quarterbacks who were rookie of the year, okay?
Okay.
So we'll just go back in reverse order. Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, RG3, Cam Newton, Sam Bradford, Matt Ryan, Vince Young, Ben Roethlisberger. So
some great players on that list.
And some huge flops. I mean, we talked earlier in the show about Vince Young. And I think, you know, Stroud, unlike Young, I mean, Young obviously had some tremendous gifts, and was really good as a rookie. But Stroud, as an accurate passer, and that
it's way different.
Right to Ohio State. Yes. I mean, he's, to me, he's prototypical for what matters most. Getting the ball out on time and accurately with touch, being able to make all the throws, he has that. And that's – so I think that makes him different from some of the guys that I just mentioned. Real quick, just a strange thing here. So Roethlisberger won Rookie of the Year in 2004.
Yep.
Just off the top of your head, can you name for me the quarterback before him to win Rookie of the Year?
I mean, I would say Peyton, but Peyton threw 30 interceptions in rookie years. It probably wasn't him.
It was not him.
I have no idea.
This is shocking. Buffalo quarterback Dennis Shaw in 1970. From 1971 to 2003,
no quarterback.
Every rookie of the year was either a running back or a receiver.
That's wild.
How about that?
You talk about times changing.
Yes. Right? And the vast majority running back.
Yeah.
Including my guy Billy Sims in 1980. It was a sweet, sweet year. But, I think Stroud is absolutely going to be good. People who are signing him up for the gold jacket and everything like that, take a pause. We'll see.
Yeah.
Sometimes people do get figured out. Sometimes people get hurt. That's probably the biggest reason to just wait, because how many careers have been spiked because of that? Chuck Long. My God, he would have been an all-time great. I still believe it. No, so – there's a lot that could go on, but I'm pretty confident in him and what he has going for him.
I'm pretty confident in him, and part of that is him, because I think what you talked about is really important. I mean, look, he had a 64% completion percentage, which is good. It's not like crazy good, but it's good. But he's been really accurate in college. I thought the ball placement from him last year was really good. The thing that makes me feel great about him right now, beyond just the natural ability that I think he has, you talk about conditions being good. You got Bobby Slowick back as your offensive coordinator. Your team has gone out and got Diggs. You got Collins there. You got Dell there. And you brought in Joe Mixon. There's some really good conditions for him. And what they've done defensively, I think hell adds to that, right? They've got Will Anderson on one side, they've got Daniil Hunter on the other side, and they brought in Danico Autry. That's a heck of a front they got. And I would assume that means they're probably going to get off field a little bit more than they did last year. And they were pretty good last year on the defensive side of the ball. So the conditions would suggest that he's primed to have a great year. Now, we'll see if he can stay healthy and all those things. But, you know, I'm with you. I'm not willing to anoint him into the Hall of Fame. But I did see enough from Stroud last year to make me think that he's going to be a big problem for the Titans to deal with for the next decade plus. He's really good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, there was another Texans quarterback who I could have sworn at a certain point in time, you know, was going to be 10 years of hell on the Titans.
Yes.
And things
went haywire.
Yeah, things happen that you just can't predict away from the field for sure. It's amazing to think back now, looking at everything with Deshaun Watson and the Browns, but think back to him with the Texans before all this stuff happened. I mean,
he was great.
Probably citizen of the year in the NFL, along with being a great player. You just don't know.
Derek from Nolensville says, "We really have no clue. See Trevor Lawrence 2 years ago. He was the next great." And I hear you. Like I
never had a season like Stroud, though.
That's the thing. Like Stroud last year, his season was better than any that Trevor Lawrence has put together so far. Now, does that guarantee that he's going to be, you know, a better player than Trevor Lawrence moving forward? No, but
who
he
would
has
you
already
take?
Done. Yeah, like I would take Stroud. Like he's already done and put together a season that Trevor Lawrence has not done yet. And Trevor Lawrence has had, you know, a couple of good years. He's not had years that have been worthy of the discussion around him heading into the draft.
No.
Even though, to be fair to him, his first year with Urban Meyer in charge was
sure.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, you have to flush that year. But all things being equal, you have the exact same team either way. Are you taking Stroud or are you taking Trevor Lawrence?
Stroud.
I think I'm taking Stroud. And I know that may – some people might call that prisoner of the moment, but it's really more about I've been whelmed with Trevor Lawrence, but I have not been overwhelmed with how good he is. He's good. I see a little bit more upside with Stroud.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Are you willing to anoint C.J. Stroud like the rest of the NFL? Do you need to see a little bit more before you're worried about him being a big problem for the Titans for the next 10 years? Also, get back into the Will Levis part of this as well. What do you need to see from Will Levis this year to convince you that he's the guy moving forward? More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. I got some tickets to give away to see Bill Burr at Bridgestone Arena this Friday night. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Bill Burr at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Friday night. Bill Burr, the second funniest person in the arena coming up Friday behind Joe Rexroth.
Yeah, it may be one of those things, you know, sometimes like rock stars be like, hey, we can bring in from the crowd, you know, bring in like a guitarist or something. Maybe Bill had me up for a few
Rocks
jokes.
Road.
Could you do some stand-up?
I mean, you've heard my jokes, man. Do some impersonations.
Here's a Paul Kowalski for you.
bring the house down.
The whole place standing.
The whole place would go nuts.
By the way, I just read this. I totally forgot this. I just reread this nice piece about me as Reba McEntire at the Sounds game. And actually, I won.
Reba, you forgot you won?
I know, I forgot I won. But it was, I mean, it was, like I wrote in the thing, it was like, amazingly, the scoreboard and sound system were ready to celebrate Reba. The other two kind of like stumbled around. Yeah. Jessica Bliss was in one of them, stumbled around. It was like, Reba wins. So, yeah, very exciting.
Nice.
Got to be Reba and win the race.
Wes in Clarksville asking, did Stroud do better than Mahomes for his first year?
No.
I mean, it depends on how you view it. Mahomes' first year and in play.
Well, okay.
So
first year of playing.
Yes, he
no.
did. First year as a starter. I guess I forgot about this. I mean, it's not surprising when you think about who we're talking about. But first year as a starter for Mahomes, 5,000 yards, 66% completion percentage, 50 touchdowns, 12 picks in your first year as a starter.
And it would have been a Super Bowl if the refs didn't screw over the Chiefs.
Anything you can do
put
to
put Brady in the Super Bowl.
Anything you can do to take a shot at Tom Brady.
I didn't say he did. If he benefits from the refs, I can't blame him.
Deflategate.
Yeah, which he admitted to.
Yes.
I watched the roast. He admitted to it.
Yes.
It's fine.
That's good. That's good. Throwing it out there. Also, some thoughts on Will Levis as well. Got one texter on the Levis front. John in Nashville says, I would say 8 or 9 wins with the offense in the top 10 would be enough to convince me that Will Levis is the guy. I talked about this earlier. It's interesting like how people view this question a little bit differently. Like for some people, it's a win total this year. Like, can the Titans reach 9 or 10 wins?
Which
I think
it's
a little bit
silly.
More complicated than that. Like, there is a path where Will Levis is okay and the Titans win 8 or 9 games because either, you know, the defense takes a big step forward or they can run the ball really well. I don't know what it is, but I mean, there's also a path where Will Levis plays pretty well and the Titans win 6 games. I mean, it's a wild variety there. So I think judging it purely by win total, I think is a flawed way of approaching it. I'm not saying it doesn't matter because I think it's part of the formula. Like how much, you know, quarterbacks are not a wins are not a quarterback stat, but I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes does a lot of winning.
Yeah,
he's a great quarterback.
If you're good, if you're one of those guys, you're gonna win a lot more than you lose.
Exactly. So like, it's a there's different ways you can approach it. I think for me, I talked about it a little bit earlier. Like the decision-making part of it's a big deal. Accuracy Does he take a big step forward there? And then at the end of, let's say he does those two things and he takes a big step forward and the Titans get to 8 or 9, 10 wins. They're either on the cusp of the playoffs or they maybe get in the wild card and they're one and done in the playoffs. Like, is that enough? Is that enough in his second year to convince you that he's the guy? Everybody would agree, I would think, if it plays out that way, that he's definitely going to be the quarterback in year three and you're going to be right back at it and you're going to feel pretty good about where you're at. Is it enough to convince you, is it enough to convince Rand Carthon that he's the guy moving forward if that's the way it plays out this year?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that apart from even from stats and certainly apart from win-loss total, is it questions like this, it's just, you know, you're going to have a feel for it just week after week how he's playing, even like how he's interacting. You know, is he becoming like this leader that you really want at that position as well, too?
The face of the franchise.
Yeah. I mean, last year, I mean, there were a couple moments where he's yelling at Hopkins. I'm like, wow, easy rookie. You know, but I think that as long as you're not a total finger pointer,
yeah,
which that's where you can get in trouble. Now, if you're a Brady or a Manning, those guys actually were finger pointers at times, just bitching about everybody.
But you can do that when you're Brady and Manning.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like, so if Mahomes starts doing that, you can do that.
Exactly. You kind of have to build to that, to have that kind of – but, you know, is it obvious that he's sort of taking over the leadership of the team? Because that's a big part of it, too. It's how he plays is way more important, but when it comes to everything, and then I think that does relate to winning, if you have a guy who performs but also who – gives you that extra boost as someone who can rally everyone. I mean, this team has a leadership void. Has lost Byard and Henry in particular. Those are huge losses when it comes to that. And so now, if you can have your quarterback be that guy, and I think Tannehill was a really good leader too, by the way.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's part of it. But just how he plays week to week. Steve McNair is still considered the greatest quarterback in Titans history, right? I mean, I don't think there's any debate. We talked at some in 2020 about, ooh, is Tannehill starting to creep up? Some people on the text line certainly would never acknowledge that.
I think one and two are pretty clear, McNair and Tannehill. Like, if you don't buy that, then you're not paying attention to the Titans franchise.
You can go find some, 8 for 15 for 78 yards and a touchdown and two picks type games where he made a couple – big-time plays to win the game.
Yeah.
Now, it's a different era of football, but that's what I mean. It's like no numbers that we could put out right now are really going to tell the story as much as just the weekly view of him trying to grow into that role.
But, you know what, you bring up McNair, and I think what happens from Levis this season is really important from this standpoint. I mean, it's the obvious. Anytime you have a quarterback that you're trying to develop – it's important for the franchise that work out. But the Titans have not drafted a true franchise quarterback that has worked out since McNair, right? Like, they've gone through Young, they've gone through Locker, they've gone through Mariota, and there have been varying degrees of success with all those guys. And all of those guys, especially Young and Mariota, had good moments. Like, Locker, it wasn't great, but Young and Mariota had some good moments. But it's been a while since they have drafted a quarterback that has hit, and they've had multiple opportunities now to do it. And at some point, like, you know, Ryan Tannehill was a great find, and it was a great move, and you can make an argument that was the best move of John Robinson's tenure, was getting him in for a fourth-round pick, and the way it worked out after that. I mean, there's, you know, drafting Derrick Henry and drafting – there's a lot of moves that are in contention for it, but the trade of getting him in here for a fourth-round pick worked out really, really well for the Titans. But they need that drafted guy to be the franchise cornerstone. They have not had a franchise cornerstone quarterback to build around that has worked out in over 20 years. And you got to fix that in today's NFL. That's why the what happens from here from Levis is so crucial. Because how demoralizing would it be if it doesn't work and then you're right back in quarterback purgatory and you're searching for another one? I know we're talking about different administrations and different general managers and different coaching staffs, but it's high time that a quarterback pick worked out for this franchise.
Even if it does work out, they still won't have found a quarterback in the first round is a cornerstone. But maybe that's the key. Wait till the second round. No, it's been a long time. How many franchises can say the same thing? I mean, there are some.
There are.
The Cleveland Browns, well, shoot, the Cleveland Browns may be on yet another, in another different way of getting a quarterback. I don't know why this has become the Deshaun Watson show. But the Cleveland Browns have been searching forever and ever.
Chicago Bears, and they think they found it.
Chicago Bears
have
been searching forever and ever, right. And it's interesting, too. It's like there's so many different ways this can go. This is also a Lions week, I feel like. But the Lions drafted a great quarterback. I mean, really. I mean, Matthew Stafford, I call him a great quarterback. You know, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback at this point. I'd say he's on the wrong side of that, but he's a great quarterback. And they mostly didn't do jack with him forever. Then they move
with
him.
With a great quarterback and one of the best receivers ever. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they move him for a thrown-away part who now has $212 million and might get him the Super Bowl this year. There's so many different ways you can do this. Again, Tannehill, I think if things had worked out differently, he hadn't botched the Cincy game, they had built around him, he didn't get hurt enough, we'd be having a different discussion about him. Real quick, I have this question from JC. I just want to hit this real fast.
Okay.
This is probably a good one for PK too, though. So this question of the day, would Vince Young be a great player in today's NFL style of play? Did he just happen to play in the wrong era? And my answer to that is, no, I think he could have worked in that era, an earlier era, this era, if he would have done the things necessary to be great, right? I mean, I think that's the story with Vince Young, isn't it?
To a degree. Now, there's a glaring weakness in his game that didn't work then and wouldn't work now, and that he was not an accurate passer. His career completion percentage was 57.9. Like, it's terrible. So it's not that, you know, he made some – there's games where he was accurate, made some good throws. It's not like he never made good throws in the NFL, but – consistently, accuracy was something he struggled with.
Yeah, so that wouldn't play today.
Right.
But I also feel like, again, this is more just from what I've heard, probably from PK and other people who covered the Titans then, that also there was a huge rift with Fisher.
No question.
Just, right, yeah. Because he wasn't showing up early and all that stuff. You have to have that.
The work ethic was not where you want it to be.
Gotta have it.
There's no question. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com is with us here on the program. PK, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Nashville. Good to be here.
Good to see you, PK. Let's not smack the lips. Someone on the text line said lip smacker, calling out a lip smacker. I'm not a lip smacker. You're a lip smacker.
You went like this.
So what you're saying?
You turned off your mic, but then you went back here and did a big.
So that's good.
So it came through mine.
It's good, but it's still audible.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying that I coughed and I didn't mute myself.
You muted yourself, but the cough was so loud it was immutable.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I mean, sometimes you just can't help bodily functions, right? You know how that goes.
Sometimes. That's why he takes the ginger juice. Tries to fix them up a little bit.
They don't stop it either.
Take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Mark in Clarksville. Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. I would just like to address the narrative of Ryan Tannehill getting all the blame for that Cincinnati playoff loss. I just would also like to point out that Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, I believe, let a back shoulder pass bounce off the shoulder and get intercepted, and King Henry couldn't convert 1 yard on a third and fourth down, and we lost the possession on down. So it was kind of a team choke.
Yeah, if you're looking for the number one choke in that, you don't have to look far. He played terribly. Got intercepted three times, twice in the flat by the same guy on the same play.
You're talking about the last pick? Is that the one you're talking about that bounced off? I believe so.
Yeah.
You cannot make that risky of a throw into traffic like that. So, I mean, you could, if you want to put on NWI, you know, everybody wants to pile on NWI.
Your boy.
That actually, to me, was the worst. You know, the play on the first pick was a bad play, but still you don't throw it. The second one, they totally blew up that play, right? But that third one was Tannehill in that situation, not situationally understanding. You can't risk it like that.
Quarterbacks write their legacy in the playoffs, and I think we've done a good job of defending what Ryan Tannehill did for this franchise in the regular season. But there's a big but on it at the end. They didn't perform in the playoffs, really. When they went on their run, he didn't need to, because Henry was absolutely carrying them. The Baltimore game in Baltimore, he made two terrific throws to Khalif Raymond and to Jonnu Smith that set the tone early and let them run away from the Ravens early in that game. But otherwise, he did not have to do much in the playoffs when they were winning. And when they were losing, he made some really horrible plays. And that Cincinnati game, when they were one win away from hosting the AFC Championship game, he left scars on this team and himself.
Yeah. Now, I will argue in the New England game, he had some big-time throws the second half, including a third down to move, keep the ball, but didn't have big numbers.
The tone of the franchise has changed, though, since the Cincinnati game, right? Like, you think about everything that's
transpired
since then. It wounded the franchise, and that's why, going back to the last segment, I'm saying, like, the Levis part of this is so important. From the standpoint of what we talked about, where they need to find a drafted quarterback that they can build around, which they've not been able to do in 20 years. But like this fan base right now is like starving for some good mojo. Like everything that's happened since the Cincinnati game, for the most part, has been bad with this group.
Well, except for the big extensions for Robinson and Vrabel.
Well, yes.
I will say one of the things, too, and I was thinking about this, and I didn't hear your entire conversation about Levis, but one of the side effects of this, like, national either doubt or ignoring of Levis in the Titans process and in the mention of, young quarterbacks and in the factoring of Callahan being hired and in this wonderment of why are the Titans getting these guys as if they're contenders and all of this stuff is to make somebody like me almost root for Levis. Like, I'm around Levis. He's got a good personality. I see the release and the arm strength. And I was a Levis doubter when they drafted him, but my philosophy is kind of you wipe the board clean when they draft a guy. I wasn't a hater by any means. I'm not such a draft nick that I get to the level of hating somebody, coming in. But I want Levis to succeed, and I'm no Titans fan. People know that. But I want Levis to succeed just to spite, those people. Because I think it's so ridiculous that the Titans get ignored to that degree or that people just skip right by them when it comes to mentioning that or have them drafting number one next year and taking a quarterback or all of that without so much as pausing to acknowledge the fact that it's possible that he could be good.
Well, and to that point, one of the things that's been interesting to me this offseason is the narrative difference, at least from what I can perceive, between Levis and Richardson. Like a lot of the what I've heard about Richardson, the Colts is, well, Anthony Richardson.
Look out.
When he's back this year, the Colts have a chance to take a big step forward. And maybe they do. Like Richardson has got a lot of things to feel really good about. Did Will Levis not do more than Anthony Richardson did last year? I mean, Richardson barely played. He had a couple of good moments.
Yeah, he had that one comeback where he was making some plays like, whoa. But
it's just like everybody's like,
not much.
Well, Richardson, wait until he breaks out this year with the Colts. And it's like, and there's Levis over there.
Also, you look at their rosters. If I'm not mistaken, the Colts like re-signed 18 guys.
Yeah.
They added like two outsiders. And I don't know. Look, I don't like to buy into the national disrespect and all of that. I tell people, why do you care what somebody with NFL Network in Los Angeles thinks or CBS Sports in New York?
Because fans are going to care about that.
I know, but they shouldn't. They should care less about it, and they should care more about what's thought and written about and talked about locally by people who watch the team on a daily basis.
As long as they're not big homers like you. Right.
says the cheerleader, the number five receiver. But the idea that the Colts are somehow, I don't know if they're darling, but that there's that buzz, and Levis is not as an electric a player as Richardson by any mean. And Richardson, the facts are, was drafted fourth, and Levis was drafted 33rd. But
the Colts had everybody convinced they were taking Levis and not Richardson.
They did. Right?
Also, look at what the Colts have done this offseason, and look at what the Titans have done this offseason.
Very different.
I don't know how you wouldn't if you're looking at who's more intriguing heading into this season. I guess you could say, well, the Colts were in, you know, I'm not saying this, but I could see how somebody would say it, I guess. Well, the Colts were in pretty good position last season, and, you know, they got derailed by their quarterback, and they're just kind of restarting where they were, and they're in second season of their head coach and all of that.
I mean, that you is could, true, though,
could,
right?
Yeah, you could make that case. But you look at the rosters, I don't know. I don't see what's to get that excited about with the Colts. And I wasn't a Richardson guy coming out.
Well, that's the thing.
So he hasn't won me over the way Levis, and Levis has a better chance to win me over because I'm watching him on a daily basis. But I need to see Richardson do it on some Sundays. And if I'm looking at Titans-Colts, I think the Titans have a better roster now.
Where do you come down on the Stroud part of this? We were talking about this earlier. Obviously, he was fantastic in his first year. Was his first year enough to convince you that he's a dude, or do you need to see him do it a little bit longer?
Yeah, you need to be guarded about jumping. I mean, Joe, I think, said it well. Like, it's hard not to be super excited and to crown him and all of that, but things go awry, and a lot of people see a lot of different stuff in their second year. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of a lull in his play this year. Now, he could be very good with a lull, just not as good as last year. Yep. Or he could have an off year in his second year and come back and be terrific in his third year. It's hard not to be extremely encouraged about the direction he's going and the kind of quarterback he's going to be, because he's already done it through one regular season. But you know, I wouldn't run to the bank and give him MVP odds this season yet. It's hard not to like Houston heading into this year. But I say it all the time. The number one thing that makes the NFL the best thing going in sports is unpredictability. And the unpredictability is what makes Houston not a lock to be great this year, and him not a lock to be great this year. And you just have no idea what happens. It's the same reason that the Titans, on paper, having had this great free agent class, are not guaranteed to get great free agent class performance in 2024.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
You know what the problem is, Robbie, man? I feel like, especially with these quarterbacks, I mean, it's like a known thing now, right? Everybody's young at quarterback in the AFC South. I feel like everybody's got a Jared Stillman take about it, though. Like, it's like they either suck or they're Hall of Famers, like, already. And that's it for – I mean, and if your opinion's made up about them right now, like, you can't – you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't change it. And the people who've been out on Levis, I can't understand why they're so out on Levis.
Levis is because they went to UT and they hate Kentucky. It's that simple and ridiculous.
But legit, though, like on paper, you look at what he did in the first game, and then you look at the line he had, and you imagine, like, put that line with anybody else and imagine the backlash they would get. But, like, Tennessee has just been so used to it. You have the conversation for a different day. I'm just saying, like, I think people need to get out of their own head and understand that, like, there's development, good and bad development, that can happen with these players. And I feel like Levis, they've done everything they can to make Levis better this offseason.
Thanks for calling.
Right. Well, but let's finish your sentence. They've done everything they can to make Levis better this season. And now we have to see what he does under those circumstances.
Yeah. You need a comma then.
Yeah.
Well, that's part
the other thing. I mean, I agree with you. There's no gray with Stilly, but there's also generally with him and with everybody, no patience.
Right.
And this season, in a lot of ways, is we have to see. Arden Key, they've come out and said, is a situational pass rusher. So we have to wait and see what they do with him and what they do with the snaps that don't go to Arden Key, because they don't have anybody to give those snaps to right now. And you could say that about a whole bunch of guys and spots on the roster. I don't think Elijah Molden is a starting caliber safety. Are they adding somebody to that spot, or is that a weak spot in the starting lineup? We have to wait and see.
One thing I would argue with Adam real fast is I hear what he's saying, but see, then after time, what happens is most of these quarterbacks go into the gray area, which is where Trevor Lawrence is, right? No one's saying he sucks or that he's amazing. He's pretty good.
Titans Twitter's kind
of. And that's not what most quarterbacks – well, okay.
Titans Twitter's saying he sucks.
And the thing with Trevor Lawrence is now you can be impatient with Trevor Lawrence. Year four, this is his year where you kind of find out. Like, second year with the Super Bowl winning coach, things have settled down.
But I think
down.
We're going to find out he's pretty good, and he'll probably still get paid.
Well, it's time, though, for Trevor Lawrence. I'm expecting Trevor Lawrence's best season. I think Trevor Lawrence has been too rocky. There's something about Trevor Lawrence, though, that still makes me want to like him and still makes
that
me
flow.
Anticipate good things from
you
Trevor
wish you had
Lawrence.
That flow.
And I'll be disappointed if he's not good this year. But if he's not good this year, then you have to start to say, well, He's definitely not heading to be that guy that we right. thought he was going to be. He's more like, closer to the middle of the pack than top six.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant. You can check it out every morning here on the program. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time for the Rob Rant. You can check it out every morning, either the Rex Rant or the Rob Rant. I'm taking over today. Rex Road too nervous with PK.
Whew,
in the building.
Thank you. Well, I tried to give him a rant last week. And say,
I got Derrick Henry's number and you didn't. Oh, I send him a crown every day.
Now it's a baby.
I miss
now
you,
it's
Derrick.
A baby Boston voice.
It does change every week.
Go Gaga. Go Gaga, go Red Sox. I miss you so much, Derek. Thank you for your number.
That went in a completely different direction that time. It's just a smorgasbord of accents.
Now it's sort of like a bad Adam Sandler.
The point isn't that I talk to Derek on a regular basis. Yeah. The point is I could reach out to Derek.
Just send him a little crown every morning.
The king, we miss you.
So have you guys seen this Bronny James stuff? So Bronny James has declared for the NBA draft. For those who don't know, obviously the son of one LeBron James. Bronny James played his freshman season at USC, averaged around 4 points. He got his measurements done at the NBA Combine the other day. Without shoes, he is 6'1.5". I believe he was listed at 6'4" prior to that. But without shoes, he is listed at 6'1.5", averaging 4 points per game. Is at the NBA Combine, and look, you can declare for the draft in college basketball and then ultimately not go to the draft once you get your feedback. Apparently, he's hanging in there. Like, he's going through the draft process, and he's planning on being drafted. And the narrative around this and, like, some of the bending that people are doing is pretty interesting to me. Now, look, I want to try to be as fair to the kid as possible because he is, from the time that he has been born and started playing basketball until now, there is going to be an incredible amount of pressure on him just because of who his father is. So I totally recognize that. But I'm reading some commentary on this, and Evan Cidery, who covers the NBA for Forbes Sports, put this out there the other day. Teams are intrigued by Bronny James because of the financial impact he'll have on their G League level at the beginning of his career, per Woj.
That's a dummy.
He will pack G League arenas, merchandising, all of those make him an attractive player. Bronny could go late in the first round. So Evan Sidery put that out there. It was from Woj from ESPN who said that. And I was like, if you really believe that teams are interested in Bronny James and the idea of drafting him because he's going to impact their G League attendance, you're out of your mind. Nobody was showing up to USC games.
They were just USC games.
They're like ninth in the Pac-12 in attendance. And now you think that Bronny James is going to be the driving force of your G League market. Because you draft him. Let's be real. Can we just be real about the conversation?
It's not that good.
The reason that people are interested, potentially, in drafting Bronny James is because they think if they draft Bronny James, there's a pretty decent chance that his father is going to come play with him. LeBron James has talked about that for 5 years.
Better be 100%
chance. He wants
chance.
To play with his son before his career ends. Can we not be real about the conversation? Like, the reason that people would be interested in drafting Bronny James is because they think that his father's coming with it.
Right.
And the kid is 6'1".
The most of the conversation.
And 4 points per
game.
And
the only reason the kid would get to the NBA is to be a sideshow for his father, which I think I don't want to say it taints his father, but it's it's a complete sideshow that would be, to me, embarrassing for his dad to go somewhere to get his kid up who's not NBA quality.
But and he's people are talking about him going in the first round, which I just cannot for the life of me understand. Like, he's
again
undersized. He scored 4 points a game in his freshman year. I'm not even saying that he can't eventually be a good player. Because, I mean,
but probably dad's clock's ticking.
Right. Like, people have been following him for a long time, obviously. And he can shoot well. Like, I think he went out to the combine the other day.
He did perform
well
at the combine.
And he shot 19 of 25 from three. Now, granted, nobody's guarding him.
Yes.
So there's that that you got to keep in
mind, too. And his vertical was good.
Like, he's got some good traits.
He could be a good college player.
That he could end up being a good college player. And then we'd see after that.
Yeah.
But the idea of him going in the first round right now and anybody pretending that that's anything other than people want to get his father along with him is laughable.
Also, he's not packing G League arenas unless it's announced that LeBron's showing up for the game and people want to go watch the bench as much as they want to watch the game.
Yeah. No, So that's some GM telling Woj that, which is – it's kind of like the whole, like, Vrabel's so big. You know what I mean? Like really? Yeah. You said that? It's like, I mean, I can't blame Woj if someone told him that. Okay.
Sure.
But, like, it's so stupid. Couple things on this with Bronny. First of all, I continue to just – and I guess it's – hey, LeBron's life's been pretty good, right? But, man, I feel like the kid should be able to enjoy college. Like, be in college and play basketball, get better, because he could be a good – but it's like you're immediately – throwing him into this, and he's not ready at all for this. Also, if I am a fan of an NBA team and they draft him, the first round is what? But if it's the first round, okay, then that's, you know, 100% you're getting LeBron, right?
You better.
I mean, if you can't draft him in hopes of getting, like, well, maybe this will come. No, you better know for sure back channels that you're getting LeBron, right?
Yeah. He's a free agent, yeah?
Or you can't, yes, or you cannot even consider. If I'm a fan of a team that drafts Bronny James and then LeBron doesn't come.
What a waste.
Well, I'm going to take to Twitter and say a lot of bad words.
Then there's a trade in order.
You know, I feel bad for the kid. I really do, because
I do too.
Like, he seems like a really good kid. It seems like he's good, got a good head on his shoulders. He went through the health stuff last year with the heart stuff that he had to get checked out. And he's been medically cleared since then. So, like, I hope he does well. Like, I wish him well moving forward. It feels like to me, though, he is being set up in a situation where it is going to be darn near impossible for him to succeed based on the way this is going right now.
I get what you're saying, so I am sympathetic on a level, but I am so anti-nepotism. And, I guess he's trapped to a degree, but, you know, there are also ways out of it, no? I mean, you could say, Dad, I want to go to college.
Yeah. Well, if I'm him, I don't want to – I said this before. Like, I don't want to go to the NBA and have my dad looking over my shoulder. If I'm in the NBA, I want to go have fun in the NBA. Like, dad and I are going to go play checkers after the game. That sucks. Get away from dad.
Yeah. Wow.
You're supposed to be able to.
Rexrow doesn't think LeBron's a chess player.
Shoots and ladders, whatever.
Shoots and ladders. I mean, he's going to be 40 next year, too. That's the other thing about this. I'm not
he's
saying
he's still really good.
He's still very good. And obviously, like, from a ticket standpoint, I mean, it's a no-brainer. You get LeBron James in your franchise. There's nothing bad about that. I'm just saying there is a difference between, in my opinion, getting LeBron James now and getting LeBron James 5 years ago.
Guess the franchise.
Yeah, no, for sure. What's that?
Guess the franchise.
That
who drafts him?
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be your franchise who keeps getting screwed by the lottery system. They're worst
fifth overall.
Team in the league 2 years in a row, and they don't get a top
three pick.
And with a
fifth overall
twice.
Pick.
That'd be great.
Bronny James
broken.
Out of USC.
That lottery's broken.
Yeah. Yeah. They deserve it, though. I actually laughed. I was like, well, they deserve that. They're the new Lions. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely – he went to Cleveland the other night.
Right? He did.
Everybody's like, oh, he's at Cleveland. What's it mean? He had his bottle of wine with him there. See, the thing is, like, he better be the last piece for a championship, because it's also – he wants to play with his kid. Well, he's not – Bronny's not getting on the floor.
I wouldn't think.
I mean, there's like
Bronny run out and towel down the lane.
Yeah, like is there?
You go, Dad.
Like maybe some garbage time they could have a couple plays together.
Well, the thing with him, like I get it. It's a very unique situation, and I understand wanting to play with your kid. You're also like you've won 4 championships. You're in the hey, getting compared to Michael Jordan conversation for your entire career. Like, don't you want to try to go win a couple more championships? One, maybe? Well, yeah, and he's about to be 40.
Well, that's the thing. It has to be. Well, I'm sure in his mind, it's a team that is close.
Yeah.
And so then they can afford to use their second-round pick on Bronny, and it all works together. But I don't know. I don't know what that team is. Is it Cleveland?
I don't know. We'll see. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, Paul Kuharsky will be with us for the next hour.
I'm coming.
Getting into all things Tennessee Titans. Kuharsky putting in some overtime on the program today. I love it. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.